You know, this is going to be my third coffee this morning, and I haven't actually eaten all day, and I've been up, 4 hours now. Shit might get a bit weird.
It is what it is.
Literally.
But
3 cups of coffee, that'll wake up the old ass.
Oof, I fucking hope so. You ever make a coffee, though, like, at home, and you're sitting there drinking to just go, fuck, I nailed this fucking cup this morning.
Yes.
Like, you ever have that? You're just like, your standard coffee is, yeah, you drink it, it's all right, and then you just somehow make one, and you're just like, oh, shit, I did it.
This is the one.
Mm. Oh. There. The brand that I got is a real good one. I always buy it whenever it's on special, and, like, yeah, you get some of them that taste like burnt as shit, and just not good. But this one is... Oh, I'm in love with myself on this one.
Now, calm down. Don't need you reproducing with yourself.
Oh, please. I've already done that 3 times today. It's fine.
Fair enough. Touche.
Why Checkmate. Do you think I need a coffee?
There's been a good one I've been getting. It's Cactus Squatch by Black Rifle Coffee Company.
Are you guys more what kind of roast are you guys? Like, what kind of strength?
Dark.
Are you like a dark and...
Yeah, dark roast.
Yeah. I don't get people who have like a light roast. I'm like, a coffee is supposed to be bitter as fuck. And that's the best kind.
See, I like it dark coffee, but I like to add a little bit of milk and maple syrup to mine. Man, maybe some whiskey.
I mean, yeah, usually for me, like, first coffee is usually got a little bit of milk, and the next one's black. Depends on the roaster. If it's a shit coffee, then it always needs milk. But, what was it? Last week, Dad and I went out fishing, so it was, like, first thing in the morning, you know, leaving the harbor at about 8 o'clock. But when Dad was coming to pick me up, he just said, you still got that bottle of brandy, eh? Yep, it's like, grab that with you. Grab that, and we'll add it to our coffee in the morning. So, 8 a.m., we're both standing out on deck, heading out of the harbor. Black coffee with when I say a shot of brandy, it's one of Dad's pours, so it's probably like 2.5 shots of brandy in it. I gotta say, though, brandy and coffee is pretty damn good.
Yeah, your dad's a good man for that.
Oh, like, there was about maybe a quarter of the bottle of brandy, and that bottle got finished before we, like, on for, like, two coffees each. That bottle of brandy was finished. Like, yeah, whenever we go out fishing, it's always, especially in winter, it's dead quiet out there, so it's just an excuse to sit out in very good weather and just day drink. With the occasional fish.
Hell yeah, man.
A fish or not, it's a good day when you have brandy, your dad, and it's quiet.
And snacks.
And snacks.
And beers.
Yes.
Yeah. Always a good time.
Indeed.
Right. Shall we actually start this thing?
Yes, let's.
I think we should.
I think it's probably a good idea as well. So, welcome to the Micro Machines podcast. This week it is just me, myself, and I, and also Garrison and Clint. And this week, so we've had a little change in topics. We were going to talk and have a big discussion, except 2 people were a bit slack and couldn't make it. Dennis, Don, got to lift your game. So this week, we're just going to go through our top 5 kits that we have built this time over the years. Because you always have some good kits and some shit kits and the kits that you always remember. And we're going to talk about our top 5 that we've built because... we've all built probably enough kits to know what qualifies as a really good kit. Apart from me, I just know what qualifies as a really shit kit, and that's about most of the ones I have. But
that's your own self-destruction, though.
Yeah, it's a little bit of self-hate into that, you know. A little bit, yeah. Just
a little bit.
A little bit of masochism in there, you know. But before we get started, we'll do the usual introduction. So you have me, Callum, from New Zealand, and as I was saying before, I'm drinking a damn fine good coffee.
Well, you got me, Garrison, out here in Kansas, drinking a coffee as well, and I've actually got a plate of food in front of me because dinner was late. But
nice.
Yes, yes.
And you got me, Clint, in Indiana, and I have a water.
Where's the Pepsi?
Don't have any Pepsi right now.
All right. So we'll get straight into it. And first up is... So, first up for my first kit for the top five is the Airfix 1-72nd Vickers Wellington Mark 1A-C. Primarily, I bought this kit... I got it as a birthday present from my ex. So, pretty damn good birthday present. I got this kit because this is the... This kit depicts the New Zealand Wellington, where the engine caught fire, the extinguishers and electronics failed. So I think it was the flight engineer actually climbed through the Astrodome, kicked holes into the wing so he could walk across it, and put the fire out with an extinguisher outside the aircraft.
Fucking oh, Chad yeah. moment, dude! Holy shit!
Yeah, he ended up. Being awarded the Victoria Cross for that. And so I built the Wellington to depict that aircraft, except I fucked up a little bit. His Wellington Mark was a Mark 1A. I didn't read the instructions properly, and I accidentally made a Mark 1C version, which has got slightly different things, like having waist gunners and, yeah, I kind of fucked up on it, but I still did it in the markings just because I wanted the New Zealand markings on it. But what can I say about this kit? Well, it was a fairly new Airfix one. So, you know how Airfix went through that period of being really dog shit with their releases?
Yeah.
Yes.
Borderline unbuildable. This one is not one of those. This kit, if you have a chance to build it, definitely build it. It is a really, really good kit. Like, it's got a full interior and including a chemical toilet. They do the interior to the point where they have the toilet that they could use. I mean, that's pretty cool.
That's actually really cool. Yeah.
And the inside, because of the way that a Wellington is made, it's kind of like, you know how airships are made? They're just like a steel frame and then just covered in like stressed canvas, linen? What did they use? Just linen, stressed fabric, right? So they've actually got the ribbing, the steel structure inside all fully detailed. So you can go through and dry brush it or pick it out. Yeah, they've just got like amazing detail inside. They have the canopy options of either having closed or, as I've got it, and you can see in the slides, the canopy, the windows actually slide to the side. So you can have them open. You've got the turrets are well detailed. Gives you a full set of bombs inside it. And that's fully detailed. The instructions are really good. There's a lot of instructions to it, but it's super detailed. Everything fit together so well. It was ridiculous. This kit was a joy to build. Like, really was. And also, it's a Wellington. And I'm also glad because it's a Wellington. And I really like the Vickers Wellington. It's a really cool aircraft. One day, we'll do an episode on it. But it was one of the few aircraft that were still being produced from the before the war until the end of the war. They still kept making them. And it's one of the few aircraft that actually did that. So... yeah, they're a really good vehicle, really cool aircraft, and the kit for it is just phenomenal. I'd recommend it to everyone.
Very neat, very neat.
Yeah, very nice.
All right, up next.
Well, it's my first one. This is going to be the 1/35th scale Tamiya T-62. Now, if you're watching, I posted up... because I built this kit twice. The first one was supposed to be for the Chechen Wars. This one is a Horizon Island Defense Force with custom ERA, concrete armor, Challenger 2 side plates, sandbags, all sorts of fun stuff. But I put this one because I love how this turned out. But the kit itself, it's an older Tamiya kit, but it's so like default looking and easy to build that there's a lot you can do with it. If you're just wanting a quick kit to throw together and do a lot of scratch building or anything like that, this is definitely a good one to do. Because the 62 is honestly a pretty good tank. And, I mean, it looks good. It was a lot of fun to build because it was how quick and easy it was to build. Needed some sanding and stuff. You know, it's older Tamiya. But if you wanted to do upgrades to it, whether it was aftermarket upgrades or your own upgrades with scratch building, it's definitely, you know, in my opinion, one of the better ones to do.
Yeah, because this is a 70s Tamiya kit, isn't it?
Like, yeah.
And they went through a rough period with a lot of their kits, didn't they? Around the 70s and stuff, where they were a bit, they're all right, but yeah, it could be better sort of thing.
I see it as like almost a blank canvas, you know?
Yeah. It's like you get the very basic of a vehicle, but then it just allows you to build up upon it sort of thing.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so...
But that was it.
All right.
And number 5 for me was the Bandai X-Wing, which any of the Bandai Star Wars kits, they're just amazing kits.
You can't go wrong with it.
Oh, yeah. They all build up super easy. And like Gareth said, it's like they're a blank slate for doing your own, you know, scenes. It's like this here is a diorama of a crashed X-Wing, you know, in some swampy planet. And I had a lot of fun building it. Wish I still had it around, but it was made for somebody else. So they're enjoying it now.
Recreate.
I should. One of these days.
Do a TIE fighter.
I got a couple in the stash. Eventually.
I really want to try one of those Bandai Star Wars. They're just, like, really expensive over here. I mean, they usually cost, like, $80 sort of thing.
They're, depending on the kit, they're, like, $35 to $40 here, so.
Yeah, because I really want an AT-ST and an X-Wing just to do up in, like, really random markings, but.
Yeah.
Nah. I mean, you can't go wrong with a Bandai kit at all.
Oh, yeah. I've built the AT-ST. It's a fun little kit, too. I got a couple more in the stash. I'm going to build one up to look like the one the Raiders had in Mandalorian.
Nice. You've also got another one coming.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Another one?
Yeah, I'm giving him mine.
Oh, damn. Lucky bastard.
Yeah, I'm just not going to have time anytime soon to build it, so I said, fuck it.
That's it for me.
All right. My next one is the TACOM SMK, the multi-turret heavy tank that was in competition with the KV-1 and the T-100 for the, air quote, next-gen heavy tank for the Soviets before the war. And this kit, the only downside is the tracks are all individual, and there's 110 per side that you got to try and put together with track sag in it.
Yeah, that's tough.
That's the only downside, but otherwise, the rest of the kit just goes together so well, and the amount of detail that's in it. I mean, with the one that I did here, I put a whole bunch of rust on it, because this is a what-if. There was only ever one SMK built, and it got it was used in the Finnish War, and it got hit by an AT mine and disabled. So I know. I really wish they did. I think the Finnish recovered it and broke it down for scrap, and it's kind of sad. Like, yeah, this would have been, if they had kept it, it would have been a cool thing. But anyway, but it's just a really cool subject. The kit goes together so well. There's barely any sort of bad parts or anything like that. I upgraded mine a bit because the original kit doesn't come with the fuel tanks on the back. Those were left over from, I think, my SU-122 build. And it kind of just fit with the tank design.
Oh, it does. It actually does.
Yeah, like, it really does. It just sort of worked with it. So having I think there's about 4 extra fuel tanks around the back and on the sides there. And I just did a whole heavy winter scene because it was in Finland. It was during the snow and all that, so it would have been covered in snow like this. So I just made it a what if of if it didn't hit that 18 mine and was just continually used.
But not going to lie, it looks sexy as fuck.
Yeah, it does look really good.
Oh, thank you. I made it during when I was in level 4 lockdown for COVID, and I literally spent 12 hours a day for 8 days working on it.
Hell yeah.
Just because I had nothing else to do. I gotta say, for my modeling career, the lockdown was a godsend. I learned so much just because I had nothing else to do.
But I just learned that my everyday normal lifestyle was called lockdown.
Yeah, it's like when it's like lockdown, everyone's freaking out. Oh, we have to stay inside all day, every day. It's like, I do that anyway. It's like, what's the lifestyle change here? It's like, you're just giving me an excuse not to go outside. But, the only downside is, the individual tracks, the size of it, it is a large tank. Like, it's fucking massive. So, you know, if you're trying to economize for space, I wouldn't go for it. But otherwise, it's just a fantastic kit. I had so much fun putting it together, apart from the tracks. but, yeah. Otherwise. Fair enough.
All right, my number 4 got the 35th scale Tamiya M8 Greyhound. This was a lot of fun to build. The downside of this kit is the lack of detail on the interior, especially with the amount of hatches and open space you've got. Kind of lacking a little bit, but if you cram the space with some custom stuff, like I put like a calendar, some pictures, and other stuff like that, and put a figure in the turret basket, it makes it look pretty alright. Made this one up for my Push on Cherbourg diorama I did a couple years ago. A lot of fun and easy kit to put together. And it's another one of those that if it's not more so a blank canvas, but if you don't use the decal set that it comes with, then you can definitely make this into like, you know, an old school police riot vehicle that they used, different countries. I think Chile has these. Had them. Definitely a really cool and neat versatile kit. And, I mean, it's Greyhound. It's just super cute.
Yeah. As the one downside to a lot of open turret vehicles is, because you can see so much inside, they definitely need a little bit more detail inside them, but I guess they just leave it up to you.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of get if, like, the hatches weren't going to be open, not adding like the driver details and stuff like that, because you wouldn't see it anyways. But with this kit, that's an option. And, you know, you got the steering wheel and control panel and some shifting levers and stuff, but it's like, man, it's kind of lacking. Like, I don't think it came with a radio set or anything. And I think I added one afterwards. Like an aftermarket radio. I can't remember. It's been too long. But really fun. It does come with plenty of stowage, so that's nice.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Ooh, hello.
Hey. Next is, this is my Zakimura F4 Phantom. Great kit to put together. It was really fun to paint. Only problem I had is some decal silver here and there. But it was actually Ezra the one that helped me get rid of some of the silvering by telling just to fucking, you know, very carefully douse them with IPA.
Really? Does that get rid of it?
It burns the silvering off of them, or burns the carrier film away, but you have to be careful just to get it on the decal. Right. Because they're also strip paint too. So
yeah. Now, because I've heard a lot of good thing about the Zakimura Phantoms. I really want to get one myself and do it as a Wild Weasel.
Oh yeah,
because that is the best kind of Phantom, is a Wild Weasel.
This is really fun. The instructions are good. It's got a lot of detail. I built this one pretty much out of the box. The only thing I added was napalm canisters from Edward. And I got enough to do the outbound pylons too, which they are on the model now. Just when I took these pictures, I had not got the outside napalm canisters put on.
Oh, damn. So has it got like eight canisters on it?
Eight canisters of napalm.
Ooh, Jesus. That's That will ruin a day.
Loaded for anti-personnel.
Never know what hit them.
Yes.
Yeah, because...
Nicknamed the bird from hell.
Because, yeah, I've heard a lot of good stuff about Zakimura, so I really want to try it. Because it's either that or the Ming ones, but at the same time, I've heard the Ming have got a really bad seam line that runs right through the middle of the fuselage. Whereas one of them's got, like, this big issue with the seam line along the middle.
The way this one is, it's the top comes together and it's got a little recess piece, and that's a third piece that goes right along the spine. So there is no seam.
Oh, okay. That...
Just the seam along the panel lines is where how it lines up.
Oh, okay, that's actually pretty good. That's good engineering.
Oh, yeah.
All right, for my third one, I have the Tamiya Infantry Tank Mark IV, the Churchill Mark VII. This kit just falls together super easily. Like, the engineering on it is ridiculously good. I did add some cast texture to the turret sides, just because it was a little bit lacking on it, but I also just wanted to try it out. The rubber band tracks are really good, the way that they've molded everything together. It just goes together so well, and the figures for it that are included are really good as well. Like, it comes with, like, all the figures you got, you see, they're all part of the kit. So you got, like, the farmer with the fucking, his little wagon there, and all the crew and stuff like that, so... It was a really good kit. I love the Churchill myself. It's one of my favorite tanks, so that's why I bought it. But, yeah, just the amount of options they give you for stowage. Like, I didn't use a lot of it on this one, just because I wasn't good at doing stowage-type stuff. But, yeah, I can highly recommend this one to people.
I remember I built one of these partially a couple of years ago and never finished it. I think I'm going to get another one at some point because it just looks so good. And it did go together really well.
Yeah. And originally I decided to do the front fenders on the ends. But then, like, after I finished it, like maybe 2 months later, I was looking at it and kind of just went, kind of regret that now. Now I want the fenders off.
Yeah, it looks so metal without the fenders, dude. Like, look at this shit.
yeah. So I kind of regret doing the fenders now. But otherwise, you know, and I did it in my favorite British tank style of the black and green stripes, just because.
Oh yes.
Oh, I love that.
Black and green goes hard as fuck.
Oh yeah, absolutely, yeah. On a tank. But and then this is also my first time trying out a sort of diorama ish base. Kind of bland and boring, but you know, first time for everything.
Oh yeah.
Well, yeah, if anyone has a chance to build a Tamiya Churchill, absolutely go for it, because it's really good.
Very nice.
All right. I knew you'd be
excited about this one, Clint. This is Dragon's FTKFZ 251 to the 20 the 2 centimeter. Schwabelaffet, whatever the fuck, I'm not German. but I did this one up in snow camo during the Battle of the Bulge. Really fun to do. I did the Tamiya 251 before this, what they call the Hanameg, and it was god awful.
Dog shit.
Yeah, absolute dog shit. The lack of detail, the fit, everything was horrible about it. Moved over to Dragon's 251. And which I know their 251 series is really good. And I got this kit for like $10. So it was an absolute steal. It went together great. So the only downside I had was two downsides. One, the front wheels, the steering wheels were connects isn't the greatest. It's a little too big. The wheels themselves are a little too big for the spots that they connect to, like the axles. So it's a little off, but you know, I got them on there. And then the tracks are like two or three pieces each, which I say is a bad thing. It's really not, because it gives so much detail, and it gives you the opportunity, if you wanted this thing to go over like a landmine or something, you could have blown off tracks that are completely blown apart. This was the first kit I built in this house I'm in now, which was almost 2 years ago, and it was definitely a challenge for me at that point. But had a lot of fun with it. My first time doing a snow camo or a winter wash. And just a lot of fun. Just an overall great kit. I'm looking forward to doing more Dragon 251s.
Oh, yeah. They're amazing kits.
And they just look good. I mean, just like look at that thing. It's a little half track. It's just ready to get after it.
And also, you did a really good job on the whitewash as well.
Thank you.
Oh, definitely. I love the scratches down the sides of it.
Thank you very much.
All right, we got another Dragon 251.
Speaking of,
well, of course, yeah, it's me. There's got to be at least one in here. This is the 251/22 with the fucking big pack howitzer in it. Again, it's like these Dragon 251s. They go together great. You have to watch like the way the sidewalls, the bottom, the two sides, and the floor that's floats above the hull. It's like you have to put them all together at the same time to get them lined up. If you don't do that, then you're going to have a bad time.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that now, yeah.
But other than that, I mean, if you're careful, you can make the front wheels steerable. And also, you can, if you're careful with the glue, you can make the tracks workable. So, really fun build. I did this one, 2 years ago now?
Almost, yeah.
Yeah, I think 2 years ago. So, but well, highly recommend the Dragon 251 kits.
You did yours in a beautiful ambush camo.
Well, thank you.
The scene also just screams Normandy.
What's it like, the red barrel on it?
Yeah, I had seen several photos that said that, you know, the barrel was still in primer. Yeah, so, you know, either the barrel was replaced and they never did repaint it or what have you. So it's like, fuck it, I'm going to do that.
Well, it looks fucking good. I'll tell you that much. And the scene you did with it also is it just screams Normandy to me.
Oh, yeah, I've tried to get, like, they just pulled into, like, a little farmyard or something.
Yeah, real quick, how did you do the hedgerow right there? I'm curious. Because it looks really
good.
It is
XPS foam is the inner core of it. And then stuff from Diorama Precipe has been glued to the top of it.
Very well.
All right. For my next one, it is the Asuka M4A3E2 Sherman Jumbo. Although my one's not branded Asuka. My one is, the one that I got is branded Tasker.
Same thing.
Yeah, it's the same company. It's just different branding. Don't know why. So this is another COVID build, funnily enough. But so at least I got to spend quite a lot of time working on it. And yeah, everyone knows an Asuka Sherman is the best Sherman. Doesn't matter who you're going up against. They're always the best. This one, I tried a few things, like putting in damage from anti-tank rounds. So you got, see on the middle there, you got like a lot of deflections. There's one in the mantlet that you can't see that's in the corner that took a chunk out of it. It's even detailed to the point where the exhaust sort of thing at the bottom is actually, you can move it. So you can have it in the up or down position, but the way that you build it means that it's movable. But
nice.
The tracks are rubber band tracks, but for rubber band tracks, they are the most detailed and like accurate ones. ever. Like they're super good. They don't like, you know how rubber bands kind of sometimes the way that they're molded sort of bow out and like
yeah,
you
know, flat
things that are supposed to be flat are bent and all of that. Whereas these ones are molded where they're actually they're creased where they're creased between the blocks. And the blocks are quite solid, so that there's no like sort of fake bending or anything like that. It's they're really, really well detailed. And yeah, just the amount of detail they put on it, because you got photo etch to go with it as well, if you choose to do it or not. This one I added in a mini art tank commander on the 50, because this was supposed to be a very big diorama, and by the time I got around to even thinking about the diorama, I had to go back to work. Basically. But I spent a lot of time putting in a whole lot of stowage. So you got like, you know, fuel canisters on the front that's been hit with shrapnel, so they're broken open. You got full stowage on the back with a spare wheel and all tied together with rope that's totally out of scale. Even tried making a tarp.
I think it, especially the rope, I don't think that's out of scale. I think that looks good.
Yeah, I had a lot of people saying it was out of scale, but I didn't think it was too much. But yeah.
No, I mean, think about it, dude. Like, it's just thick rope, which isn't inaccurate for military units. Like, that's... to me, that looks damn near perfect.
Yeah.
So, fuck those guys.
Mm. And one thing I do like about the Tasker Shermans is the running gear, the bogies. The way that it's all built up, I think we discussed this in another episode when Garrison was looking at his one. You got the rubber pads that you can put into it, so you can adjust how high it sits. And of course, the Jumbo Sherman with all the weight on the front, you know, you got an extra what? I think it was like an extra 6 plates of armor welded onto the front and onto the sides. It dropped the nose quite a lot too, even on flat ground. The front bogey suspension was maxed out. Like, absolutely to its absolute limit maxed. And you can actually model it. So you can, if you just see slightly on the bottom left, you can see the front suspension is like fully flatted out. And then the rear two have got, you know, they're a bit more of that sort of angled.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the sort of effect I was trying to get for it. And they allow you to do that so well. It's, can't really say anything bad about this kit at all. It was such a good kit. And also, it's a Jumbo Sherman. And out of all the Shermans, that's my favorite. With the 76 anti-tank gun, not the 75.
Now, the distressed star on the side, did you do that? Or was that how the decal came?
That's the decals.
That's sweet.
And they provide three of them. And each of them are at various stages of distress. So this is like the middle one. De-stressed. I think you got one that's slightly less, and then one that's like, I'd say 60-70% of the star is actually gone. So
damn.
Yeah, it was pretty neat. So they just give you so much stuff for it, and yeah, I mean, it cost me about $90 to buy it, but it's kind of worth it, to be honest.
Very nice, very nice. Well, this is my 1/35th scale TACOM M114, and this little thing is fucking sweet. The kit went together really well. My only gripe about it would be the top plate there. If you look on the right picture, you can see there's a gap. I tried for quite a while to get that to sit properly, and it just wouldn't. So that may be user error, but I followed the instructions and went back multiple times. So I've got a feeling it's manufacturer error, but it's such a small gap, it'd be easy to fill it up with putty. I just didn't. One, I'm lazy. Two, it's HIDF, baby. You know, added the extra plates, all the stowage. Flag, radio antennas, you know, the whole nine yards, tarp, chains on the front. A lot of fun to build this thing. It's such a great, I mean, obviously it was used in like Vietnam, so any kind of jungle scene you want to do, this is always a great addition. And I think I've seen some in the Philippines from like the 2017 or 18 battle of Manila, I think it was. I can't remember.
But the ones that have got like stacks and stacks of cardboard on them.
Yeah, yeah, with the crazy urban camos and extra armor they added to their shit, which is awesome. This would be a great vehicle to throw in there. Definitely a lot of fun.
Yeah, because I heard a lot of good things about this cat, because you and Dennis both bought it when it just came out, eh? Like, when it was just released, you guys immediately bought one each.
Yep, sure did.
Yeah. Shame on that little cat.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And again, I can't...
Yep.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, then again, TACOM have kind of released a few new things that have had a few fit issues lately, like the Weasel.
Yeah.
But, you know, I get it close enough.
Yes, it
still looks good. Especially on HIDF.
Yeah.
Raw.
All right. Trying to figure out which one should be first on my list was hard. This was probably the best fitting kit I've ever built.
A pair of titties as well.
Do what?
And there's a pair of titties as well.
And there's a pair of titties on it too.
Honk,
this
honk.
Is the Tamiya Lightning that they brought out a few years ago.
Is this the 48 scale one?
Yeah, 148. I 3D printed out a whole bunch of Marston mats, for the base. It has Quinta Studios. It's Edward Space 3D decals, which is like the Quinta Studios decals.
Oh yeah.
It's got the new Edward exterior decals, one where you can remove the carrier film, which are amazing. It's also got the Master barrels, gun barrels in the nose. And yeah, all in all, this is a really fun kit to build. It's the best fitting kit I've ever had the pleasure to build. It's right here.
Oh yeah. Very nice. I've heard a lot of good things about the Tamiya Lightnings. I really want to do a Lightning, cause I made one when I was 10 and, yeah, it's not so good.
The landing. The old Rebel monogram?
No, I have a feeling it was an Academy one.
Academy.
Yeah.
Well, I guess Academy did do one.
Yeah, they did standard Academy 172nd aircraft. Not the most detailed and best, but still decent to put together.
Yeah.
But yeah. That was when I was building stuff way too quickly and I wouldn't let glue dry, so the landing gear kind of collapsed on itself.
Yeah.
It kind of looks like it's like sort of retracting the landing gear on its way up, but the landing gear broke halfway through it.
Ah,
that's tough.
Oh, and that reminds me, that's another thing I put on here. This is Edward resin or brass and reels.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
So. Definitely recommend.
All right. And for the last one for me, it's another TACOM. It is the Mark IV Tadpole Heavy Tank. And this build, the only gripe I have about it would be the way that the center, center hull is put together. It's a little bit finicky and you got to like get things angled right before you glue it. But otherwise, it is an amazing kit, the amount of detail that's in it. The tracks come all already separated in a small bag, and you just clip them together. And they give you a whole bunch of spares as well, which I love. But if you build this right, you can, the tracks will move around it. But
nice.
I never make it so the tracks can move, because it was going to be on a base with mud and all of that, and the mud would crack. But yeah, I'm also made this as a YouTube video. But
you did. It was a good one.
Yeah, the amount of detail that's like, say in the sponsons, I was half tempted to try and make it so you could lift up one of the roof hatches on the lift off the roof of one of the sponsons, because the 57mm guns in there are fully detailed, absolutely detailed up. If you saw inside it, I think they're all made up of 10 pieces alone each.
Damn.
sort of thing. So they're like, yeah, fully detailed in there, and you just can't see it, unfortunately. But otherwise, it was just such a fun kit to put together. It is also giant. Like, I think, yeah, Tadpole still holds the record for longest production tank ever. 22 foot long. Yeah. So this is, so this kit is about a foot long, at least. Maybe slightly bigger than a foot. It is, yeah, takes up a lot of room. But
damn,
it's a super interesting subject, super easy kit to put together, and I just, yeah, enjoyed the fuck out of it. I also added in, so it doesn't come with any decals because, well, you know, the tanks themselves didn't really have a lot of details, decals or anything like that, but they did, they usually had a name associated with them. So I took this one off the Churchill. The Churchill kit had a whole bunch left over, and one of the names was Britain. So it kind of looked right when I put it on. So I put Britain on and, of course, paint up the tank tank regiment insignia on the front, because half of it has disappeared in mud now. But
which looks hot as fuck.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how I did this mud so well, but I did.
Callum, I hate to tell you, buddy, but no military vehicle would ever get this money. Okay.
Not even in the trenches of World War One.
Nope, never would have happened. I was there. I saw it.
Yeah, not, you know, when people are literally drowning in mud because it's so deep. Yeah, they never got this muddy, especially because the track goes right up and over the body where it all collects up. Yeah, it'd never get muddy on the roof at all, would it? You know.
You see, I was actually there when we built the tank, and that's not actually how it happens. So, you know. But no, they did. All jokes aside, you did a fucking great job with this kit, man. It's honestly one of my favorites you've done.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
It's just pure sex and mud.
Yeah.
Lots of mud.
But, yeah, I would definitely recommend people build this one because it's so good. Because I think the tracks are one of the best parts of the kit, to be honest. Because the only other kit you can get in 35th scale of the Tadpole is, was it Esky? Itchy? You know that, it's like Itchy or something like that, and they have rubber band tracks, and they are hideous.
Ew.
Like, you know, these are just like, the tracks here are just like metal plates, but because it's a rubber band one, they just curve around with the tracks, with the body, and it just looks ick.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely recommend this one.
All right, my all-time favorite kit I've built is going to be the 1/35th scale Dragon M4A2 Tarawa Sherman. I did this one up as the China Gale, or Gal, whatever. I can't speak English.
China Gale. And,
thank you. And I did the after and before picture, same angle, just to show you how it looks when it's finished, which I think looks awesome. The amount of photo etch that comes with this is perfect. Where you put the photo etch is really nice, like the front fender's there. Super easy if you wanted to mess them up a little bit, make them look bent up and stuff. The metal barrel it came with, it was just really nice. Now, I have two gripes about this kit. One is it says it's a Tarawa Sherman. Now, the Shermans on Tarawa had wading gear, and it's seen in reference photos. However, this kit did not come with any, so I built my own. You can't see it in the pictures, but it's on the back there. And that was a lot of fun to do, but I think if you're going to make a specific vehicle like this Tarawa Sherman, try and, you know, do a bit more research and make it as accurate as possible, because that's a big part of the Shermans was the waiting gear.
Are you expecting Dragon to do research and accuracy?
Yes. Same rules for everybody. And then my other gripe is going to be the lower hole in the front where it's kind of rounded there, where the dry sprockets are at. The way it connects to the lower hole is so weird. There's another guy on Instagram who's building the same tank, and he messaged me. He's like, dude, is this like, how did you do this part? Because it's just, it doesn't, like, the instructions aren't completely clear on how exactly they attach, and both ways you can attach it, or both ways, because it sits on there both ways, two different ways. And when you build it, you don't have the upper hole on yet. So it's like, what I did was I didn't glue it. I just made the upper hole and then put it on and, you know, fit it like that. And even then, it was still kind of wonky. But besides those two things, this kit was an absolute blast. I would definitely build it again. I had a lot of fun. I did a lot of experimenting with the painting and weathering and whatnot, and I'm glad I did. It was definitely, to this day, my all-time favorite build and then painting and weathering I've done.
You definitely got the paint modulation down, like,
chef's kiss.
Like, especially the turret. The turret is my favorite part.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, getting the shadow and all of that right, it was just, yeah, you did really well.
Thank you. I'll be bringing this to the Leavenworth show, so Clint will be able to see it in person.
Yeah.
And if I ever go to Nationals, or when we eventually all go to Nationals, I'm 100% taking the Tarwood diorama with me. It's, to this day, my favorite diorama I've made.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Millennium Falcon!
And wish I could have... I don't have that many good pictures of this. I had to get into my old Flickr account. but this is the 172nd Fine Molds Millennium Falcon. It's absolutely beautiful kit. And it's not lit up in the photos, but you really can't tell, but there is 500 feet of fiber optic cable in this build.
Jesus.
So it was an absolute blast to put together. Did some 3D printed stuff. The cockpit is 3D printed. So is the top gun tub. Scratch built some stuff, like the troop transport was scratch built, and so was the treadrail droid up there next to Han. So, fun build. Definitely recommend it if you can get your hands on the old Fine Molds Falcon.
I think those go for an absolute bundle nowadays, don't they?
I got this one several years ago for $300. Well, you know what? We wasn't in our house, in the house we're living in now. So...
You could afford it?
Well, I mean... It wasn't that. It's like my wife bought this for me with the stipulation that I had to finish remodeling the house that we're living in now before I could build it.
Bet.
So.
Damn, that is... I mean, that's one way to control the modeler right there.
Oh, yeah. So, absolute all-time just favorite build is the little hot scene.
It looks really fucking good.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
And,
Were you going to say something?
Oh, no, I was just saying that's it.
And that's the end of the list. So, yeah, just a little sort of filler episode because Don and Dennis are, you know, useless. Could make it for the big discussion we're going to have, so that's going
to
be...
Should we announce it so maybe we can get some people in the comments to give their opinion? We can throw those in too.
Yeah, why not? So, next week, we are going to be talking... what's the topic again? It is...
So, we're going to be discussing... It's a big discussion, one that's kind of prevalent in the modeling community. It's, when is it too soon? So, basically, when is it too soon to start modeling a theater or war? For example, Ukraine. Is it too soon? Because people, within a month of the war starting, people were making shit. And a lot of people got backlash. So we're looking to get y'all's opinion. When is it too soon to actually start building from a topic?
If you're still in the middle of the battle, it's probably too soon to start working on something.
Yeah. So we're going to be talking all about that. And we want other people's opinions on it. Because, you know, there'll be five of us, but we only can talk so much. And we want to get everyone else's opinion on it. So if you want to, you know, you can email us at micro.machines.crew@gmail.com or find us on the Facebook or Discord or anything like that. And you can submit your own opinion that we will be airing on the episode. So we'll be trying to get as many points of view onto it as possible. So if you are brave enough and you want to add in your own opinion, please get in touch with us and let us know, and we can read it out during the episode. We've already got about, I think we've got 20 responses so far, maybe a few more.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
That's a lot more than I thought we would get.
Yeah, same. Now, just keep in mind, this is an open discussion. We're not looking to bash anyone for their opinions. All opinions are welcome. All point of views, you know, it's a discussion. We're not going to be kids about it and just start shitting on people because they have a different opinion. We're all adults.
We may make some jokes. Even the wrong ones are welcome.
Yes. So, email us, shoot us a message, you know, do your thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, we are going to have a brief intermission, then we're going to carry on with the usual lineup of hobby news, works in progress, recommendations, and all of that. So until then, we'll see you in a second. And we are back with the hobby news, and of course we've been away for a couple of weeks, so there should be something good, at least something, some good release come out. I mean, you know. But
yes.
Up first, from 4Art, they are bringing out the HMS Coventry Type 42 Guided Missile Destroyer Batch 1 in 350 scale. I believe this is one of the ones that's currently helping defend against Houthi drones. Oh, I'm not too sure. It looks modern, and I don't know what modern is. So, yeah. Otherwise, though, as a ship, it looks damn fine, especially with the turret and the missile system up the front there. It's pretty neat. Otherwise, don't really know too much about it, but if someone does, I'm sure you'll let us know. So this is from Max Factory, or Playmax, whatever, I'm not too sure, but this is a Machining Krieger. This is a re-release, new box, new parts for their Falk Anti-Gravity Armored Raider PKF-85. I don't know.
I don't know what that's from, but I want it.
So it's from Machining Krieger. Actually, there's a guy that, Lincoln Wright, who kind of created it or knows the most about it or whatever. He's actually on the New Zealand Discord. I need to try and get him onto the podcast Discord. He's a really nice guy. He's really cool. But this is their Falk Anti-Gravity Armored Raider in 1 to 35 scale. I think they also brought this out in 1 to 20 scale. I think usually Machining Krieger is about 1 to 20, but this is 1 to 35 scale. It is a really cool looking sci-fi, well, old school sci-fi vehicle, I guess you could call it. I think it,
yes.
Yeah, I think it flies or hovers, and it's got a giant-ass Gatling gun on the front, which I am all about. And I really wouldn't mind having one of these. They're just hella pricey. Machining Krieger stuff is just woof.
Really?
Yep. I think I've seen one of these go. They'd sell them for like, I want to say $120.
Honestly, I'd buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would think about it.
If I had the money, but yeah, it is a super cool looking vehicle. Love it.
You know what it reminds me of?
What?
It looks a lot like the fucking Star Wars: The Clone Wars Republic fighter tank.
A little bit, yeah.
Gives me that vibe. Be a cool, like, bounty hunter ship for Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's definitely got a sort of Star Wars aesthetic to it, I've got to say.
Oh, yes. Oh!
Up next from Hobby 2000, they are bringing out a Sherman VC Firefly Polish First Armor Division. It's mainly a new decal set for the Polish First Armored. But I am all about that. So Hobby 2000, I think they just do a lot of reboxing of other kits and add in stuff like decals and all that, which I am okay about, to be honest.
Nice, nice.
A lot of their stuff, I think, comes from Hussy Gower as well, which you can't go too wrong with. But I'm not sure if this is a Reebok of anything or their own kit, but a new Sherman 5C Firefly in 35th is always a welcome addition. Of course, and also the Polish First Armored is kind of iconic with the Firefly Mark V.
Hell yeah.
We've got four releases from TACOM, two of them. Honestly, all four of these I'm not really too excited about, but the first one is the Tiger One Experimental Project. This is a 3-in-1 kit, which I guess is nice. That includes the 88mm armed prototype, the TVI, that is a T6-100. That is the, I believe it's a Soviet experimental that, you know, before you know, Germany decided to fuck themselves and invade Russia, you know, they were kind of sharing a lot of technology with Germany, and I think this is one of them, just looking at it. Or it could be fucking Soviet captured and modified. I'm not too sure. I don't really care too much about them. And also the... And then also you can arm it with a 75mm L55. That was one of the prototypes, which, not a fan of. A Tiger with a 75 looks weird.
It does.
A Tiger without a muzzle brake as well is just wrong. It's, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, looks this one, ugly. Like, the one that they've got on the box art is hideous. Don't like
yeah.
it.
Oh, yeah, especially with that big red star on the side of it.
Yep, that as well.
I will say, though, the box art for the King Tiger, that looks hot.
Yep, so up next there is the VK45.02H draft blueprint with 1461. I don't know what that means. I have a feeling it's probably like a design ID number or something like that, but basically it's the prototype to the Tiger 2, I believe.
Yeah, it looks like a Tiger 1 chassis with a fucking Tiger 2 turret.
I have just noticed that. Thank you for pointing that out. That is what it is. It's a Tiger 1 with a Tiger 2 turret.
Yeah,
it looks hideous.
I don't know. I kind of fuck with it. Ain't gonna lie.
I'm not a fan. I don't like that. I do not like that at all. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be passing on these two, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, maybe the... If I had to choose, like, gun to the head, I'd probably choose the gun. I'd probably build the 75mm prototype Tiger just for the obscurity of it, to be honest. But
HIDF?
Yeah, maybe. One of the Tigers that made it to, that didn't quite made it to Japan got diverted off. Yeah.
Yes.
And also from TACOM in 35th scale, they're releasing two new turrets, both of them for Chinese Navy. We have the HHQ-10 surface-to-air missile system and the HPJ-38 130mm naval gun. Again, two subjects that don't hold a lot of interest for me personally. What's next? Yes. Airfix have just announced a pretty major release, actually. A brand new tooled, I think it's a new tooled, no, it is a new tooled, 24th scale Supermarine Spitfire Mark VII. 8. Yes, Mark 8. So all right. This comes with three decal sets, one of them being an Australian, an RAAF with the Tiger Shark mouth. And, well, we all know their last 24th scale Spitfire was pretty damn good. I've actually seen that one in person at the hobby club that I go to. The president brought along, he received the kit, the 24th scale Mark V. It is fucking big. Like, the instruction booklet is maybe like 50 pages long or something like that. It's a fucking...
Oof.
The engine alone is a kit in and of itself, and it's super detailed. It's ridiculous. So a Mark 9 would be pretty cool to have. I mean, I would certainly love to have it. I just wish they had New Zealand decals for it. But I digress. Definitely one to look out for. They are releasing it with a limited edition with a challenge coin, token coin, you know, Airfix, when they have a big release, they have a limited edition one where they got a whole bunch of other stuff in with the kit. This is also one of them.
Nice.
Yeah.
One to look out for.
Indeed.
And from Special Hobby, they are releasing in 32nd scale the Fiat G50 Bis and G50 Bis-N, which is the fighter bomber and Navy fighter for the Italian Air Forces. This is a more of a re-release with new parts, new decals, all of that. But the G50 is a pretty cool aircraft, one that I wouldn't mind trying to build myself. I haven't got anything Italian at all, so I kind of need to add that.
There's a severe lack of Italian subjects.
There really is. Well, severe lack of Italian subjects that are good to build and in the right scale.
Yes. And, well, this is 1/32, so...
Oh, I'd love to build this one in 32nd scale. It's a pretty neat-looking aircraft. Especially the Navy version with that giant bloody arrestor hook in the back.
Yeah.
I don't think the Italians ever had an aircraft carrier at all, did they?
I don't think so.
No. I don't think they did.
Were they planning on landing this on the Graf Zeppelin?
I wouldn't have thought the Germans would allow them.
You wouldn't think.
Yeah.
I don't know much about Italian stuff.
No, we need a... If anyone's an expert of an Italian aircraft, please let us know. We'll get you on the podcast.
Yes.
We've got two more from Aoshima. They're updated... naval kits. First up is the I-19 Japanese submarine and the Yamashiro Japanese battleship, all with updated parts, a few new parts to it, all of that good stuff that they've been updating and releasing, both in 1/700 scale and two subjects I wouldn't mind having myself.
Yamashiro, did it take place at the Battle of off Samar? Or is it Grotto Canal?
Not sure. Not too knowledgeable about Japanese battleships, to be honest. My preferred subject is British.
Ah.
Or Commonwealth ones, but I will say I'd love to have this one just because it's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 main gun turrets. Damn. Yeah, well, that is a lot.
And it looks like it has 6 auxiliary per side too. Or second,
Yep, yep. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I think 7. 7 of them.
7?
Damn. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah. Per side, probably.
And I do like the box art for it, because they're going up against a whole bunch of patrol boats.
Yeah.
And in keeping with the naval theme, just for a little bit longer, Hobby Search in 1-700 are bringing out the Imperial Japanese Navy battleship, the Hai. The Hai?
Hai, I think.
I don't know. I have a feeling if I try to pronounce it, I'll get myself in trouble. But again, a battleship that I don't know too much about, but looks pretty neat, and I wouldn't mind having.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty sexy looking.
We've got two from Amusing Hobby, the sort of Luftwaffe 1946 what if the war had continued on. And we have the ME-262 HG-3 and the Antwerp 3 and the ME-262 HG-3 V-tail, sort of two what-if continuations on the 262 series if they'd continued on. So the V-tail is sort of like standard 262, but with a very, very swept back wing and a V-tail on it. Doesn't look too out there. I mean, that one's somewhat plausible.
I honestly fuck with the V-tail more.
The Antwerp 3 is just...
looks something like from Star Wars.
Yeah, I don't know how to describe it. It's just...
Fever dream. Wrong.
Yes, fever dream. Ugly. Don't like it. Yeah, both of these coming out in 48 scale.
Are them supposed to be shooting stars they're going up against?
The V-tail one, yes. The... Eintwerf, I have no idea what that could even be. It looks like an A-20 invader.
Kinda?
sort of. Yeah, I'm not too sure.
Yeah, either way.
Whatever.
Nice.
Landmo Models are bringing out some more stuff in 35th scale. They're really liking their armored cars, and I am all about it. This time it is the Auto Blindo 41. It's an armored car from Italy. Carried a, I think it's a 20mm autocannon, and also a or a 37mm anti-tank gun. Not too sure. It's got a machine gun facing the rear as well. Looks like it's going to be fully detailed inside with the engine bay, crew compartment, everything fully detailed up. And again, this is one I'd happily have in the collection because they're a very cool looking armored car.
Oh, yeah.
And also, indeed, a decent Italian kit. We haven't got many of those.
Exactly.
Dora Wings are releasing in 72nd scale brand new parts and decals for their Volte Vengeance Mark II. Looks like it's coming out with RAAF decals, which, again, I'm all about, even though it's Australian, but New Zealand never had them, so you can't have New Zealand Volte Vengeance, but I would happily take one of these because the Vengeance is a very cool-looking aircraft, even though it was kind of shit.
I'll say I like the camo scheme and the white tails. That's fucking
it's
sweet.
One thing I like about the Australian and the New Zealand Pacific War is we did the white tail on a lot of stuff. Like a white tail P-40 looks really cool. But very cool looking aircraft, and yeah, Dora Wings are releasing a lot of cool stuff lately. And also 10 out of 10 for box art, just with the whole aesthetic of dive breaks, bomb coming out of the bomb bay, and the swing arm. Yeah, nailed it on that. This one's
yes. Harrison. Yes.
Master Box are releasing a Dog Patrol in their part of their Vietnam War series. So this has four figures and a German Shepherd. And, well, we do have that Vietnam group build that we're both part of. Well, that we're both taking part of. I mean, this could be added onto your little diorama. Although
I don't think it would. No, it wouldn't work for Hamburger Hill, but no. It would make a really cool vignette.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And also, yeah, there's a bit of a lack of Vietnam sort of infantry as well. Well, decent ones.
Yes. It really is. There's some old dragon stuff, but...
Oof, yeah. No thanks.
Keyword old.
Yeah.
Considering it wasn't... I think because it's the Vietnam War was mainly, infantry and helicopter-based, so the rest and aircraft. But, tanks and other vehicles, stuff like that, there weren't too many of them, so... Yeah. I think they just need more infantry-based stuff.
Yes.
And a 35th scale Huey.
Yes.
Definitely need a good Huey in 35th scale.
Yeah. Yeah. And if my laptop wants to work.
Oh!
Three from Ryfield Model. The first one is an M1A1 Abrams tank, but it is the Ukraine updated version with workable tracks.
It looks so hot.
It's an Abrams that's got ERA blocks on the front, which is weird, and also along the side, which is also weird, but also very cool.
I fuck with it so hard. Look, oh god.
They are also bringing out an SD KFZ 234-4. The I don't know how to pronounce that. The Sparwagen, whatever. It's basically a 234 with a 75mm pack 40. Is it a pack 40?
Yeah, I take it.
Yeah, pack 40 with a full interior as well. So that one would be
nice.
I wouldn't mind having that one. And also a SDKFZ 167 Stug IV late production with an engine. With I think it's
yes.
probably a resin engine.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I'd take that too.
I'd fuck with that.
You have to get them before Don gets a hold of all of them.
Right.
We know how much Don loves a Stug.
He does. Don't let him lie to you. That's all he builds. Then he tries to say he only builds Canadian.
Yeah. Oh, also the 234 looks like it has resin stowage for ammo, which
nice.
Is pretty cool.
Ooh.
And that's it. That's all we have for the model news. Up next is Works in Progress. Let's have a look at what I've been working on up first.
All right. I got three slides, I think. They're going to go through these quick because I got to go to work soon. Callum was mentioning a Vietnam War group build we're a part of in August, starting in August. So I got a bunch of figures for a Hamburger Hill diorama. I started to build them, and then I found out that we weren't starting till August, so I stopped building them. But these are figures from AliExpress. They're really nice, very well detailed. They went together great, and I'm super pumped to put them on a diorama.
Can I just point out one thing?
Send it.
Is the bipod on the M60 backwards?
Probably.
Looks like it.
Yeah, I was just going to say
fuck it. Fuck it is what it is. I never shot the 60, so I don't know. It didn't come with instructions. Here's some more figures. Like I said, the figures are really nice. A lot of fun to build. And they're going to be a fucking blast to paint up.
They look really well detailed.
They do. Oh, they are.
Like, those are some very crisp lines.
Indeed. Almost done with my Ukraine war diorama. I got to add some mud to some figures. All the figures are in place, though. And then I got to get the plaque and pins. Then it should be done, minus the actual top cover, which I'll eventually make out of cardboard. And then the rest of the Vietnam War figures I'll be building. So that's all I've got. I haven't really been too active. Chopper! Yeah,
I'm still plugging away in Chopper. I can't remember if last week I said anything about his building the periscope. But I built the periscope mechanism. And I finally got a coat of orange paint on his dome.
Nice.
You're finally painting him.
Yeah, it's I got a couple places, a couple ghost seams that just keep coming back up no matter how much I work on them. So
it's just like one good thing, like right across here.
Yeah, there's one on the top, but that's going to be covered by his antenna. So okay. Really not too worried about that. But there's one on the back. It's like, fuck it, he's dirty as can be anyway, that I can incorporate some weathering into that.
There you go.
Fair enough. So I've got three slides. So this first one is part of the Auckland IPMS Club. We did a group build for memorial for Roy Cross, the quite prominent Airfix box artist. So we had to find a find a kit that had one of his box arts on it, and I decided on the vintage classic Bristol Bulldog, and I regret everything. I hate this kit. So much. Things didn't want to go together that well. The wing struts didn't fit properly. The hideous amount of flash that's on everything. It's a very basic representation. But, for its time, it's all right. So I managed to get this finished yesterday. So I'm glad to have it finished. I got it fully rigged up, which everyone goes on about rigging something and how difficult it is. It's honestly not. Even in this scale, it's pretty simple, to be honest. I mean, it took me 20 minutes to do the rigging. So,
well, it looks fire as fuck. May have sucked, but it looks fire as fuck.
Thank you. Doing a little bit of work with 3D printing. Found this bust for a Warhammer 40K Kriegsmarine. Not Kriegsmarine. Death Corps of Krieg figure. I scaled it down by half because I didn't know how much resin I had in the vat. Turns out I had enough that I could have done it full scale, so I might do that next. But more just practice for getting the printer settings right. And, I just want to do a few busts, detailed busts. So this one is kind of a good practice point. And I got it for free.
Nice.
So.
Very nice.
And lastly, I got the Martin PBM5A Mariner finished last week, and spent a day making a little base to go on it, just so it didn't look a bit, it needed to be sitting on something because it's so big. And did a whole bunch of salt streaking on it and a whole lot of weathering, and I'm just glad it's finished, to be honest. from the outset, it looks like a good kit, and then suddenly you realize nothing fits that well. Yeah. And also, so the kit that I got was supposed to be, it had decals for the Australian transport version. And I thought, I had to buy a whole conversion kit for it because there was a whole bunch of different changes. Turns out all those parts are in the kit. They just don't tell you that. Like, there's nothing in the instructions to tell you, hey, you can convert it into this or anything like that. You just see the parts for it, but they don't tell you. So you just think it's like random spears or something like that. So I was a little bit annoyed, but at the same time, the Australian version is dark green and unarmed transport version. Whereas this is the armed version for the US Navy, and I followed the rule of cool, and guns are cool. So, and it kind of looks better with the turrets on it, to be honest.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, glad to be finished with that.
Definitely your best build yet.
Why is it always the best builds are the ones I end up hating at the end of it?
That's just how it be sometimes, my guy.
All right, moving on with the recommendations.
I couldn't remember if I already brought this up. I don't think I have yet, but Nimitz at War. Don was the one that recommended this book to me. Again, on Audible, I think it's around 18 hours or so. But, you know, put it on while you're at work or when you're at the bench. An excellent background into, you know, Nimitz's mind.
Nice.
Yeah, nice. I'll have to check it out. And I don't have anything for this week, unfortunately.
All right, ladies and gents, we're at the end of the episode. That means group build. So coming up on September 1st, here in about a month and a half, that'll be the end of our Pacific group build. If you'd like, you still got time to enter either the recreational or competition. We've got a great competition prize, so stand by for that. And come on and see what other folks are building. Same thing with the sci-fi, except no prize, just all recreation. So if you got something you've built in the past, if you got something you've built in the past, or you want to build something new that's anything sci-fi related whatsoever, throw it in there, come join, have fun, and see what other folks are building.
And as usual, once you've finished listening to us, go and check out all the other modeling podcasts, because we are quite different to all of them. Stuff like On the Bench, Built Sideways, Just Making Conversation, go check out them because, one of their hosts has just had a quadruple heart bypass. And so he's recovering from that. So if you do listen to this, James, I doubt you will. But if you do, get well soon, mate. Glad to see you're on the mend. You got stuff like Modeling Insanity Podcast, Plastic Posse, all of them. So go check them all out. And as usual, at the end of the episode, we like to thank our Patreon supporters. Under our Pinju supporters, we have Paul Gallagher, Lord Floki, Robert Judson, and moving up from just a follower to a supporter, Braille Mastroni. Doubt I said that correctly again. I'm sorry. And our Pinju follower, Robert Brisbane. You guys are freaking awesome.
Thank you, gents.
So we have come to the end of this episode. This is just a sort of small filler episode because, you know, Don and Dennis, we're just going to blame them. So
that works.
Yep. So we have come to the episode. So any last words from Garrison and Clint before we exit out?
Thank you guys for watching. Always great. And if you got any recommendations, let us know and join the discussion for next week's episode.
Yep. Stay tuned next week. It should be a good one.
Indeed.
All right. So you have been listening and watching the Micro Machines podcast. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts for supporting us and following along. And we will see you next week. Bye for now.
Deuces.
See ya.